Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Here we go. Liberal federal judges are already up and at it. They are already working to undermine America. They are already working to undermine the America First president. And they are already trying to set these hardened criminal illegal aliens free. You know, the reason I say hardened criminal illegal aliens is because every illegal alien is a criminal, because you committed a crime when you entered this country illegally. You continue to commit a crime when you stay in this country illegally. Go back, do it the right way like every other immigrant did to get into this country. But now here we see it. Just like we have a major problem here in Montana with corrupt left-wing federal judges and then some at the district court level as well, look at what we're already seeing. I just checked in on X here as the national news update was playing, and Elon Musk just posted this about 40 minutes ago. It was a tweet from Amuse, and it was an ABC 7 TV news report out of Chicago. Activist judges are waging war against Trump at every turn. That's the tweet from Amuse here. For example, a Chicago judge. Well, now, is this a federal judge? It might be a local judge. Either way, you get the point. A Chicago judge is about to set a Venezuelan illegal felon caught in an ICE raid free. So ICE came in and detained this criminal illegal alien. And likely, if they're being detained right now, these are some of the most hardened criminal illegal aliens out there, because they're starting with the hardened criminals first, and then they'll get to the rest of the illegal aliens later. I guess unless an opportunity arises, right? So Elon Musk said this: if no judge is ever removed from the bench, no matter how unjust their verdicts, our legal system is fundamentally broken. This must happen. He's basically saying that judge should be pulled off the bench for this outrageous decision. And then that ties in with another tweet that I just saw here from our friend Jeremy Carl. Jeremy Carl is a senior fellow with the Claremont Institute, lives in Bozeman, and he shared a similar story from FoxNews.com about about one of the Biden judicial nominees, and how an extreme judicial nominee from Biden should not be able to reach the bench. But listen to what Jeremy says here. He says this ties in with what Elon Musk was saying. This is really the whole ball game. If Trump surrenders the legitimate authority the American people invested in him to a radical district court judge, nothing else matters. And then Jeremy Carl says this: channel Lincoln, channel Abraham Lincoln, and make a legal argument that tells the judge to pound sand. Same thing here in Montana. If you've been listening to this show for quite some time now, okay, they tell you not to do something, you just come right back at them with a new strategy and a new legal argument and basically tell them to pound sand. We got some great guests coming up here later this morning. Back after this, phone lines are open.
It's January 29th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Puzzle Day, so whether you like crosswords, jigsaw, trivia, word searches, Sudoku, or just plain old brain teasers, puzzles put our mind to work and can help to make us healthier. Studies have shown that doing puzzles on a daily basis can help to improve your memory, cognitive skills, and problem-solving ability. Also on this date, in 1936, the first class of players were inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. The first class was a lineup of baseball legends, among them Detroit's Ty Cobb, shortstop Honus Wagner, pitchers Walter Johnson and Christy Mathewson, and New York Yankee great Babe Ruth. And the Stanley Kubrick classic anti-war film Dr. Strangelove premiered in 1964. Actor Peter Sellers had one of the film's most memorable lines.
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
If it's your birthday today, you share it with Oprah Winfrey, born in 1954. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Man, I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much. I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Get hurt in the game? We tough it out. Feel exhausted? We push on. Feeling down? We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But there are times when bootstraps aren't enough. When stress gets to us and we need to talk to someone about what we're really going through. So we're going to reach out because sometimes mental health is not a one-person job. Visit loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ed Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, good. I'm glad she showed up early. She was on the schedule for, about 10 minutes from now. But I'm glad she got here early because we might as well just have her join us here for the full hour. And you can jump in on the phone lines if you want to join in on the conversation here. Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana. We got a nice surprise phone call from her at the end of the hour yesterday. And boom, here she is in studio with us here today. Stacy, great to see you.
Good morning, and good morning to the audience.
I felt like I just saw you in Washington, D.C. during President Trump's inauguration, but I actually never saw you. But you shared some great photographs of the Montanans you were running into. Because while I was kind of running around Capitol Hill during the inauguration, you were volunteering at the big Trump, post-inauguration rally and speech at the Capitol One Arena. Before we get into all the other big topics of the day, how was that? What was it like being there for that moment? I know it was chilly.
Well, it was very cold. It was wonderful to see the enthusiasm of the individuals that had traveled all the way from different states there. When I was at the arena, I became like an unofficial bodyguard to the VIP section.
Oh,
and
wow.
What did that mean is that I had to block people. Hey, let me see your ticket. You had some people bow up, but it was probably about 8 to 10 hours of work, but it was well worth it. What happened is that you can sign up to become a volunteer, and then they do a background check on you, and then they select you at the last minute. So when was it? The evening before I got the email, hey, you need to be here at 7 a.m. I'm like, oh no, it's going to be cold.
Here we go. Yeah.
It was definitely cold out there, but well worth it because to have that experience and to see President Trump come walk right past you and his family and stuff, it just fills you with joy.
Oh, that's cool, because I think when I saw photos, you were out on the street, escort or watching as people were coming in, and you had your green, knit hat on that everybody who was volunteering mm-hmm. had on. But, yeah, you got to be right next to the VIP section, which makes sense because, obviously, you had a full career in the DEA, so you know a thing or two about security. But then even before that, I remember you telling me how you were a private bodyguard. You would actually work as a bodyguard when various dignitaries would come to the United States.
Well, see, I did everything backwards. Normally, you go into the government and then become an executive protection agent. So I was an executive protection agent 8 years prior to DEA. So I had the experience of doing advance work, of doing one-on-one security, of actually being perimeter, whatever it may entail. So this was just, I just dusted off my bodyguard hat and played the role and felt very comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, the nice thing about volunteering for stuff like that is, well, then you know you're going to get inside because, what did they only have 20,000 seats in that Capital One Arena? And so that when I saw like that, okay, it's all the outdoor stuff is canceled, but hey, there's this Capital One Arena event. I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to try to get in there because there were hundreds of thousands of people in town to just to be there for that moment. And all the inaugural festivities, like, I'm not even going to try because, man, there's probably tens of thousands of people that showed up in line the night before just to get into that one. And I needed to be on hand to call into the radio show. And so, but I had fun kind of walking around Capitol Hill and then we had a great watch party that I heard about at the last minute too in Senator Dane's office. So it worked out great.
No, it was the day before was the, I believe it was the rally, and people got in line about 3 a.m. People that got in line around 6 a.m. waited for 5 hours and did not get in.
Wow.
It was sad to see, because we knew some people, and we went out there and gave them water and hand warmers and stuff. And it was sad to see that they waited for 5 hours and was unable to. The arena holds anywhere, yes, 20,000 and 22,000. But you had diehards. They're just staying out there. And the temperatures were freezing. Here in Montana, we deal with it, but in D.C., it's a wet cold, so it's a little bit different and gets to your bone. And I was really worried. Some of those balls, the balls that that you're able to attend, the presidential balls, you had lines for a mile and a half out. And when I saw women in their high heels and their gowns and just, you know, their shawls, I'm like, oh, no. They need to change this, because we're going to get hypothermia out here.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was kind of glad that things got moved indoors, because, yeah, we can take the cold. We're used to it, but you're right, that humid cold is a little bit of a different kind of cold. But also, when you're out there that long and you're still trying to dress somewhat nice, it's a little hard to have all your cold weather gear on at the same time.
Well, one good thing with those long gowns, the women can get away with some tennis shoes on and carry, a little backpack with your high heels and stuff. So that was a good resource for many women out there. But yeah, it's craziness. But if you ever get the opportunity, if this ever happens again, do it. It's worthwhile going out to D.C. That's why I'm telling the audience, go out there. Yes, it is expensive. It gets ridiculous. The hotel's prices are ridiculous. But it's worth just being out there among like-minded people.
Well, to be there for that moment, I feel so incredibly blessed to say that I was there for this moment as President Trump was sworn in, because I think especially as we approach America's 250th anniversary in 2026, we really were at a crossroads of, are we going to continue decline? Are we going to see a vast drop in that decline because of everything that's been happening here of late? Or are we going to, or does America have a second chance? And I think we really are. We made a turn in the right direction that hopefully lasts at least for another 250 years.
Well, it's funny you say that, because most countries at this point usually slide backwards. They fail. And you can, countries like Iran and China, they're hoping that we're going to fail. And so, with President Trump being back in office, and he has a no-nonsense type of attitude right now, it's time for us to really turn the ship around. And it's not just this current administration. It's the community. It's the states. It's the governors. It's everyone here that is living in this area. We need to now support the efforts of President Trump and his administration.
That's right. Well, Stacy Zinn, as you know, is the former head of the DEA here in Montana. We briefly heard some of her thoughts yesterday on this spectacular raid against the TDA, Tren de Aragua gangsters down in Colorado. We want to hear more of that. We want to see more of that too. By the way, it's been great. So we'll get more of her thoughts right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. There's always wisdom in studying history, but in the case of economic history, there's even more wisdom in understanding it. What caused the Great Depression? What has the U.S. economy done to outperform most of Europe? Or what caused the outbreak of inflation after the COVID pandemic? The passage of time can change our answers to these and other relevant questions about economic events of the past. The inrush of a presidential campaign is hardly the best time to rewrite the narratives concerning the inflation spike of the last 3 years. Yet with the growth in prices finally seeming to ease, there are plenty of reasons the simple explanation of excess deficit spending as its cause should be reexamined, or at least supplemented. Because it's hard not to notice how the same cycle of spiking, then moderating inflation, has played out in countries across the globe. Many of those countries hit the stimulus button hard as well, but not all of them. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Securing America.
New Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem addressed her department for the first time Tuesday, telling the staff the goal is simple.
We leave this country safe for our kids and our grandkids far into the future.
However, she admits that mission is big and vast, and achieving that goal is more difficult in practice than theory.
The world is a dangerous place, and we've got dangerous, evil foreign governments that want to take us down.
Secretary Noem says DHS will be America's first line of defense.
We will do everything that we can to protect the American people. We have jurisdiction over people who live here, people who leave here, and people who come here.
She says that DHS jurisdiction extends to products, the internet, and anything that could negatively impact America's security. And Noem promised,
we will exercise all legal authorities that we have to protect this country, because it is the only last light of freedom left.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks.
All right, before we jump into these DEA raids, the illegal aliens, the drug cartels, TDA, Tren de Aragua, and more, I got to do an update on a story we talked about yesterday. So yesterday, you know, we had the Joker from X in studio with us, and I was like, okay, you know, John, the jokes just write themselves with this one. We told you there was a report. John Solomon with justthenews.com had a report that your taxpayer dollars, because of Joe Biden and the Democrats, they were spending $15 million on condoms to Afghanistan. $15 million to send condoms to Afghanistan. And, oh, man, jeez. You know, fear and trembling across the horizon. Well, you think $15 million to Afghanistan is bad. Listen to what President Trump's White House press secretary shared yesterday during her first official White House press briefing. Wait for it. It comes at the end. Okay, why is my clip not playing here? Let me cue it up again one more time. There we go. Okay, sorry, I was getting some other messages that were coming in, messing with my audio player. Here it is.
Just during this pause, Doge and OMB have actually found that there was $37 million that was about to go out the door to the World Health Organization, which is an organization, as you all know, that President Trump, with the swipe of his pen and that executive order, is no longer wants the United States to be a part of. So that wouldn't be in line with the president's agenda. Doge and OMB also found that there was about to be $50 million taxpayer dollars that went out the door to fund condoms in Gaza. That is a preposterous waste of taxpayer money. So that's what this pause is focused on, being good stewards of tax dollars.
All right, there you go. Yeah, Caroline Levitt, not a binder in sight, as Jesse Waters pointed out on Fox News last night. But Stacey Zinn, you know, you think about it. You know, when you worked in the federal government, federal law enforcement, you know, there's always a resource constrainment. You always have, you know, it doesn't seem like it because of the way the federal government's been spending money the last 4 years in particular. But to see $50 million to buy condoms in Gaza, James Woods, the actor James Woods, shared that clip on Twitter or X, and he said, as if impregnating goats in Gaza is a concern of American taxpayers. That's what James Woods had to say. That's just crazy.
No, it is crazy, and fortunately, it doesn't surprise me. When I worked in the foreign arena, and I spent a good portion of my career in the foreign arena in Afghanistan and Kyrgyzstan and Haiti and all those different areas down in South America, you watch what the State Department does and USAID, and you watch them get all this funding, all this money, and then the money all is designated for the foreign arena, and then all of a sudden that money goes poof. So when you hear about condoms, I mean, I had a pause on that one, but it makes sense. I mean, yeah, maybe a quarter of that's going to go to the condoms, but the rest of it's going to be going into the a foreign president or foreign dignitary's back pockets, and it's going to, that money's going to be shuffled off to Dubai, and it's going to be hidden in the green Cayman bank account. So,
and then they'll give it to their buddies to fund further terrorist attacks against American interests. Yeah,
I would love to see a full audit of how much USAID and the State Department have spent, and follow the money trail. Where has that money gone? I mean, we'll be able to investigate it to a certain point, and then you'll see all of a sudden it goes into this dark black hole, and we'll never know where that money ends up.
So, speaking of money, a random sidebar for just a moment here. So I'm glad that John didn't take the bet yesterday. I was trying to bet John $20 yesterday, but he kind of agreed with me, so he didn't take the bet here. So we had a message on our Montana Talks app from a guy named Rigo in Columbia Falls. And he said, hey, I'm an illegal alien. We pay taxes. And it's like, okay. But anyway, it's like, well, we don't care if you pay taxes or not. You're here illegally. That's against the law. So, you know, you'll be deported or should be deported, right? But anyway,
I don't know if this guy actually is legit or not, you know, because people can create fake Facebook profiles. But I got a message, I think it was on my at Flint Report Facebook page, from a guy named Rigo in Columbia Falls. And he says, that's me. So I was trying to bet John. I said, I'll bet you this is some liberal white dude who's just putting out some talking point. Yeah, we're illegal and we pay taxes. We're great. But this guy claims he's actually is an illegal alien in Columbia Falls. Caden, can we message that guy back on the app? I want to see if Rigo will call into the show here. Oh. To have an actual illegal alien in Montana call in, tell us why he's here, why he thinks he has a right to be here.
Oh, absolutely.
I'd be interested in that.
And so would I. And I've dealt with a lot of illegals throughout my career. When I was, my first duty station was in El Paso, Texas, and I had confidential sources that were illegal. Individuals will come across the southwest border. They'll get fake documentation. They'll get a fake visa. They'll get fake a Social Security card, and then they run amok. And they hide. A lot of times they'll hide in the darkness and stuff, but they're committing crimes along the way. That is what the U.S. is targeting right now. Those individuals that are coming into our country, they first broke the law. There is a law in place that you can't come to America illegally. So all these other people that are claiming, oh, you know, these poor, poor people. No, they broke their criminals. They broke the law. So they're going to have to pay a penalty for breaking the law, and whether it be a civil fine or they get deported. That's up to the U.S. government. But the thing is, these individuals that are now thumping their chest and saying, yeah, I'm illegal and I deserve to stay here. I can tell you that the president of Mexico, if I was to go in their country illegally, I would be arrested and I'd probably sit there for quite a period of time, and then I'd be deported back to the U.S. without a say. So I don't want to hear about these individuals in other countries claiming that they have a right to be here on our land in America properly.
Yeah. So, yeah, because my question, and the reason why I thought, oh, this has got to be some liberal white dude pretending to be an illegal alien, you know, kind of like how Rush Limbaugh would talk about seminar callers. Well, I'm a conservative Republican. No, you're not. So I assume that was the case here. Now, it's hard to know. Still could be, right? But because the other reason why I was suspicious of Rigo actually being a white dude pretending to be an illegal alien is, why would you tell on yourself? Why? Mm-hmm. I mean, we are broadcasting over the public airwaves right now. Anybody listening, like could be ICE agents or Border Patrol agents or whatever. So why would you say, hey, here's my name. I live in Columbia Falls and I'm an illegal alien. But then I just saw a message from our producer, Caden, and he says that apparently when he spoke, I guess Caden actually talked with him. I just thought we got app messages. Mm-hmm. I don't remember him ever actually calling in. But Caden says that this guy says he came over illegally. So he came here illegally at first, but eventually went through the system and is now legal. So. Which raises some other questions, too, of course. But
I dealt with State Department, and I actually, when I was down in Peru and stuff like that, they would give us a list of names and say, hey, can you run background checks on it? Because at one period of time, they were doing the right thing of checking people that wanted to come to the U.S., get visas, et cetera, et cetera. So DEA personnel would help run in our databases, determine if they had run drugs before and stuff like that. We've also seen State Department officials have a bleeding heart, and then they'll just slide these individuals maybe some visas they shouldn't be getting. And then these individuals come across, and then they overstay their visa, and then they disappear into the wilderness and stuff. We do see that. I mean, you look at 9/11, how that took place.
Yeah.
Those visas that went to the terrorist, they should never have been able to do so.
And yet look at Canadians that get told to go back to Canada.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I knew a family that owned a gym. They owned a couple of businesses, very successful. They were contributing to society. But apparently our State Department told them, well, you know what, you're not really contributing to the economy, so you got to go back to Canada. What?
Yeah.
They're small business owners, nice family, went to church with them. You know, and or likewise, if you're Riley Gaines and her husband is, I think he's British. We won't give you your green card until you take the COVID shot. Okay, they shouldn't be forcing anybody to take the COVID shot, right?
You know, absolutely.
Never should. And so there's nonsense. I knew somebody else, married a gal from the Philippines, had to wait 2 years before he got to see his his now wife because of the COVID insanity and the political correctness. But yet, look at the backflips the Biden regime did to figure out a way to give illegal aliens citizenship status or some sort of a legal status, whether as, oh, we'll just call you a refugee, we'll just call you an asylee, whatever.
Well, before the Biden administration came in, I was able to see the different countries that the illegals were coming from. The Border Patrol would have a database where it show, you know, 3,000 Hondurans entered the U.S. illegally on such and such date. We would see, and they'd break it down country to country. When the Biden administration came through, all of a sudden, we weren't able to see any of that data, and we had no idea what's coming across. Since then, we have learned that we've had individuals from Middle Eastern countries that have terrorist ties that have come across our southwest border and then have been lost among the 50 states that we have. So what's going to be interesting to see the next 6 months of those type of terrorist cells, what's going to happen? Are they going to speed up their actions in order to create harm in America? Or are they going to go, maybe we need to keep a lower profile? But we've got a lot of nefarious people, and that's what ICE is doing right now, is trying to root those people out and get them out of our country.
Well, and likewise, this could be another component of Trump's strategy here. I know retired Border Patrol Chief Chris Klem, who toured Montana with us last summer, you know, part of what they may say, maybe they've already said this, I don't know, is they may say, okay, look, if you're here illegally right now, self-deport, get out, and then you still have the option of potentially coming here legally down the road. But if you don't self-deport, if you don't get out and we find you first, you will never get into this country through the legal system. You will never have a shot at even the legal process.
They just set up guidelines about, you know, the first time, or if you self-report, you get tossed out. If you come back and then you get tossed out again, it's a mandatory 20 years plus. So at least they're being considerate of their feelings if they get tossed out once or twice. So, hey.
Jeez. Not as considerate for you, though, if you aren't following the IRS laws or anything else for that matter. Hey, we still haven't even talked about the cervezas and the DEA raids. We'll get to that and more next. Well, it's
the more you listen to your kids, the closer you'll be. Find resources to help you support your kids and their emotional well-being at soundedouttogether.org. That's soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Pivotal.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we just got a message on our Montana Talks app. This comes from Right On John in Bozeman. He says this: there are quite a few, obviously from other countries, being held at the Bozeman Detention Center, and some with multiple charges. I don't think ICE has talked to the judge due to her decisions. Also, how many are they holding or let go to appear again at a later date? That's a good question. When they have these folks on an ICE hold, do they keep them in there or do they let them go back out on the streets to appear again at a later date? Good question there. I reached out to the Gallatin County Sheriff's Office yesterday just via email. I should probably just give them a phone call as well, but sent them nobody's answering the phones. It's 4:30 in the morning when I'm typically trying to get information. But I did send them an email. I haven't heard back yet. I'm trying to find out how many ICE holds are currently in the Gallatin County Detention Center. And then also, how many did they have in the last year? How many have they had, say, in the last 5 years, right? I think the numbers would shock some of you. First, I want to get Stacey Zinn's take on that as well. But first, hey, look, interest rates remain high. Housing prices remain high, especially here in Montana. We're one of the free states. So some of you thinking, man, as much as I'd like to move into a different house possibly or upgrade, with these interest rates, everything going on right now, I'm gonna hold where I'm at. But I want to improve my house. Maybe I'll just upgrade the bathroom itself, have a nicer bathroom. Well, let me tell you about YHIC, your home improvement company.
These guys are a game changer for your home. And if you want to, say, remodel your bathroom, you can transform your space up to 30% off on a bathroom remodel. Imagine turning your bathroom into a spa-like retreat. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. Whether it's windows, bathrooms, or both, this is a limited time offer you don't want to miss. Let me repeat that. Get up to 30% off a bathroom remodel. Call 406-948-2836. You're going to love the difference with your home improvement company. Go to YHIC.com to find out how. So there you go. Okay, back to it here with Stacey Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana, who had a full career in the DEA. So first off, just this message from Right on John in Bozeman. We know that there's a bunch of illegal aliens in Montana because they're showing up in our jails. I wonder if people would be surprised, maybe not our listeners, but the average Joe out there on the streets of Montana, if they would be shocked at just how many illegal aliens end up in our jails and have been in our jails on these so-called ICE holds.
Well, Gallatin County, that is a interesting area, because what you saw was the construction workers coming in Big Sky. You had the Latin influence coming in, and then we saw the cocaine trail. So we've been watching Bozeman for quite a while, and when I've gone down there, I've been able to, you know, not being in DEA, I can actually talk to the citizens a lot easier. And I've talked to Venezuelans, I've talked to Hondurans, I've talked to Mexicans, and they're all working together. I know that there's individuals working illegally in these construction companies and stuff like that. I know that there's individuals that are owning these construction companies coming in and setting up shop and then hiring these illegals and then abusing them, labor trafficking and stuff like that. With the jail system, I got tipped off that there's a handful of illegals sitting there on ICE hold. So when I did my research, I saw up to 12 or 13 last fall sitting there. I'm like, how can this be? Was not able to get any answers, and so I've been watching it from afar. So yes, our jails, we do have quite a number of individuals up here that have committed some heinous crimes, but it's the press doesn't really talk about it that much, and they don't, you know, they kind of keep that it's not on the front page, let's say.
They downplayed it, or luckily, I mean, at least, you know, KBZK TV in Bozeman, now they're starting to put the immigration angle further up in the story. They used to kind of bury it at the bottom of the story. But even so, with as many stories of all these illegal aliens getting arrested, especially in the Bozeman-Gallatin Valley area, this should be like a multi-part series expose examining this problem, especially in that area. But because you're exactly right, we've seen how they've tried to downplay or outright ignore so many in the media this problem of illegal aliens in Montana, and we know why they did it last year, because it was a big election year, and we had the most important Senate race in the country, and they were trying to help the Democrats. But before I get to a caller on the line, and by the way, phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. Stacey, we got to hear from you briefly yesterday, but just, man, it's so great to see what the DEA is doing, these spectacular raids against Trende Aragua down in the Colorado area. I love the fact that the Corona was still on buckets of ice, because the raid was so efficient that they didn't even have time to drink their cervezas.
Oh, the Venezuelan gang. What they did is they posted on social media that they were going to have a gathering. And, of course, we monitor, or law enforcement monitors, what's going on social media. So that was just a great softball throw up that, hey, we're going to have a party at 5 p.m. lasting to midnight or all night, come and join us. And who joined? DEA joined. And DEA and the Metro, the task force down there, they did a fabulous job of raiding that, got approximately 50 individuals that, and a lot of them were illegal. They were able to get guns. They were able to get drugs. And we got some criminals off the streets that don't belong here.
Yeah. Well, and
And that was so interesting when John Fabricatori, I think it was, or who was it? It was the DEA agent, the special agent in charge down there in Denver, who said that when he tried to talk about TDA before, it was like using a four-letter word because they didn't want to hear about it down there. In fact, Jason Crow, I think is his name, who's a Democrat congressman down in Colorado, he straight up lied. And he sent out a tweet back in September of 2024, basically downplaying the whole notion that TDA was a threat to the people of Colorado. And this guy is a sitting Democrat congressman.
Oh, it's craziness. And DEA and HSI and other local law enforcement are continue doing these raids. Just 24 or 48 hours ago, they hit another apartment where they only got two illegals there. They were attached to the cartel, and they seized approximately 130,000 fentanyl pills along with cocaine and heroin. Now, let's talk about those fentanyl pills. 130,000. Those pills would end up here in the streets of Yellowstone County because there's a huge pipeline between Denver and this region.
Right.
We've worked investigations with the Hondurans and that were here illegally peddling the fentanyl pills from Denver to Great Falls to Bozeman to Billings, and then from there they go into the rural areas.
That's why everything they just did down in Colorado this past weekend is a direct benefit to us up here in
Montana.
Well, let's get into some calls here. We got Russ in Livingston. Russ, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yes. On the judges, when they make a decision or a judgment like that, isn't it obstruction if you're going against federal law?
Yeah, I guess I could see how if Joe Schmo on the street is trying to get in the way of ICE agents detaining these criminal illegal aliens, you can make that argument. But a judge, you know, and is there a point where you could argue that a judge is going out of their way to basically interfere with the law instead of to interpret the law? That's
correct.
A good question.
Correct.
Yeah.
They could lower their bond low enough that these individuals were able to bond out, and then these people will disappear into darkness again. So, yes, judges can be obstructionists at times, and hopefully during this course of action they will uphold the law.
And at what point could they be held for obstruction of justice because they're clearly abusing their position of power to aid and abet these criminal illegals? And I wonder if this judge in Chicago is danger close to that front. All right, we got about a minute to go before our next break. Let's go to Nancy in Roundup. Nancy, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, good morning, Stacey. It's so wonderful to speak with you again, and you are dearly loved and respected here in Roundup. And what I want to know is the Wall Act. It was introduced this past Monday by the Senate. They want a permanent barrier and make it a federal law that there has to be a barrier along the Tex-Mex border. And also the refugee program. I'm all for eliminating it because I think it's worthless and there's a lot of holes in it. And J.D. Vance was speaking of it also. Do you agree with that? Because I don't think any shortcuts should be taken to become a legal citizen. And thank you so much, and God bless you.
All right, great questions. Thanks, Nancy. About 30 seconds before the break, Stacey.
On the refugee program and stuff like that, I mean, I've always been a supporter of that because there's individuals that should be able to flee their country if they have hardships. However, we have abused that program so much, and unfortunately, we have had millions and millions of individuals coming to our country illegally, so that refugee program should be put on ice for the time being.
I totally agree. That's what I'm saying. There needs to be a freeze because, they've clearly abused it. No, well said. Nothing more to add on that one. And I saw you were very appreciative of Nancy's kind words as well about how loved you are in Roundup.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure people elsewhere across the state would say the same thing as well. Okay, lots more to talk about here with Stacey Zinn. Back right after this.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
And here's Christy Noem, second day on the job, joining ICE agents and federal authorities on these deportation raids. And they get one of the ringleaders of Trende Aragua. Is that a good thing for the country or a bad thing for the country? She said live this morning from New York City, I'm on it. She was there with these numerous federal agencies hitting targets in New York City, starting in the Bronx. He tweeted out or X'd out, we are doing this right, exactly what President Donald Trump promised the American people. We're going to make our streets safe. Dirtbags like this will continue to be removed from our streets. Oh, why do the people in the media, why are they protecting this group of people?
The Conservative Underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Donald J. Trump is officially the next president of the United States of America. While millions of Americans are rejoicing in the victory, thousands of others are still concerned about their savings. The unfortunate truth is, we still have $35 trillion in debt. The interest on that debt is now larger than our entire defense budget for the first time in history. Plus, the wars that started under Biden are still raging across the globe. So, what can you do to help protect your savings? Many Americans are already taking action by reaching out to the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Right now, Goldco is offering a free gold and silver kit to show you how precious metals like gold and silver could help you diversify your savings before it's too late. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to get your copy free of charge. Plus, you could receive up to a 10% match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. That's HannityGold.com. Paid for by Goldco.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Polino. Luke Bryan is hitting the road this spring on his Country Song Came On tour with 30 dates spanning the U.S. The tour kicks off May 29th in Bethel, New York, and runs through late August. Along the way, Bryan will make stops in Hershey, Pennsylvania, Charleston, South Carolina, and Bangor, Maine. Joining Bryan is a rotating list of performers, including Ashlyn Kraft, May Estes, and several others, with DJ Rock locked in for the entire run. Tickets go on sale Friday. You and musician Zach Bryan kept his word with fans after the longtime Philadelphia Eagles fan dropped a new song, Blue Jean Baby, after their NFC championship win. Bryan began by toasting the Eagles' victory over the Commanders, 55-23. He wrote, "Birds win out at midnight, see y'all in New Orleans," before casually adding the news, EP and album by the end of the year. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know what? This is great. Stacy Zinn's going to stick around with us for part of the 9 o'clock hour as well. We do, I think, around 9:20, former Bozeman legislator Tom Burnett is going to join us to talk about Medicaid expansion, especially since, you know, the rest of the mainstream media, you know what they're going to do. The only coverage they're going to provide when it comes to Medicaid expansion is figuring out how to spend more of your money, figuring out how to give other people the very benefits that you don't get and how you have to pay for it. They're just going to figure out how to take more money out of your pocket. So it's just going to be, you know, pro-Medicaid expansion propaganda all the time. So we're going to get a different take from former Bozeman legislator, Bozeman area legislator Tom Burnett, and he's always got some good numbers, good facts at his disposal. But Stacy's going to stick around too, which is great, because I want to get her take on, you know, the sensational media suggesting that Native Americans would be deported. I mean, give me a break. She'll give us some great insight on that. And then there was one other. Oh, and then she was at that Yellowstone County Commission meeting earlier this week. Well, when all the left-wing activists showed up to try to trash the Yellowstone County commissioners who are trying to help the Trump administration get rid of these illegal aliens. So two big topics we still want to talk with her. So thankfully she'll be sticking around. Stacy, what else do you want to highlight here when it comes to your, you know, former colleagues inside the DEA and just some of their just spectacular raids that we've seen here just in the first week or so of the Trump administration?
They have been able, what's good to see is that the handcuffs have come off of law enforcement. They're able to actively do what they have signed up for, which is to get these individuals that are committing crimes off the street without having to tippy-toe around it. And just like Denver DEA, they are working alongside HSI and other law enforcement elements that are going up and rounding up these hardened criminals. And I'm not saying, I mean, these are criminals that have committed assaults, committed murders, rapes. These are the baddest of the bad. And it's good to see that that the Drug Enforcement Administration is now actively get involved. And again, just like you had said, those arrests impact us up here. There is definitely a strong pipeline of drug trafficking from Denver and even from Salt Lake City and these different regions. Washington, the state of Washington, a haven for illegal cartel members. Our last big investigation up here, as me as the head of DEA, we took off the CJNG, Nueva Generación cartel, and they were polluting our Indian reservations with fentanyl and with meth. They were impacting five different reservations. But those individuals, number one and number two in that drug cell, they were illegals. We missed arresting the number one that was coming and going back between Omak, Washington, and Crow Reservation. We missed him because he went down to Mexico, was about to come back across illegally again, and we had a certain time frame we had to conduct the raid, and then he fled back to Mexico. Sources tell me that he's already reentered the United States under another false name, and he'll be setting up shop, and we'll see if he reappears here in Mexico.
Interesting.
That's why Montana.
If I was at that Yellowstone County Commissioner meeting the other day when all these left-wing defund ICE activists showed up and start spouting their nonsense and, you know, suggesting that somehow it's racism that's driving this push to get these illegal aliens out of here, I would just turn right back at them and say, I want every single one of you to go out to our reservations and go talk to the grandmothers that lost their kids and are raising their grandkids right now because of Mexican drug cartel fentanyl. You go tell them that, you bunch of woke white liberal clowns. Because you're responsible now as a result. You share the responsibility for these deaths and for these drug-addicted people as well. Because they just need to be called out on their BS with their woke virtue signaling crap.
That you're absolutely correct. My family came from Chihuahua. They came across illegally. And when people say, oh, you're being a racist. No, I'm talking facts. And these are the facts. So you need to listen up and walk in my shoes for a day.
Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. Right.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it. There's always wisdom in studying history, but in the case of economic history, there's even more wisdom in understanding it. What caused the Great Depression? What has the U.S. economy done to outperform most of Europe? Or what caused the outbreak of inflation after the COVID pandemic? The passage of time can change our answers to these and other relevant questions about economic events of the past. The inrush of a presidential campaign is hardly the best time to rewrite the narratives concerning the inflation spike of the last 3 years. Yet with the growth in prices finally seeming to ease, there are plenty of reasons the simple explanation of excess deficit spending as its cause should be reexamined, or at least supplemented, because it's hard not to notice how the same cycle of spiking, then moderating inflation has played out in countries across the globe. Many of those countries hit the stimulus button hard as well, but not all of them. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.